Science and Wisdom Live is a project of Jamyang London Buddhist Center, a non-profit organization. Please consider supporting us with a donation to help us keep our podcasts and videos free and ad-free. To support us now, please visit our website at scienceandwisdomlive.com. This episode is an excerpt of one of our Science and Wisdom dialogues. To listen to the full recording, please follow the link in the podcast description.
When I read about Buddhism, which of course is non-theistic, and not only did it explain about our innate perfection, but it gave a path. Truly, Vicky, the point was that the Buddha not only said, for example, be good, but he showed us how to be good, not just be kind, but techniques for cultivating our kindness. So as soon as I started just reading my first book on Buddhism, I knew this was it. I had always been a Buddhist. I just hadn't known it. When we're talking about mind, of course, mind is at many levels. Consciousness is at many levels. And in Buddhism, the word for a mind in Sanskrit is citta, which doesn't just mean the intellectual mind, but also the heart. So it's a kind of heart mind. In meditation, because we have now developed the ability to observe and not be swept along, it's like we're sitting on the banks of the river, watching the river going by. Instead of being swept along by the river, we're now watching the river. And so then we're not stopping the river. We're not damming the river. We're not trying not to think. But what we are trying to do is not be completely swept along by our thoughts, but instead be able to observe the thoughts.
So what I want to know is, how does meditation produce that kind of heart quality, which is what really moves people?
Well, there are two things here. One is on a relative level, because it is believed that our ultimate nature is not only wisdom, not just intellectual intelligence, but a knowing quality of the mind, which sees things as they really are, but also it's great love and compassion. That's our nature. You know, our problem is that we identify ourselves with everything which is not really me. And so
What do you mean? What do you mean? We identify
every spiritual path, not just Buddhism. Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Judaism, everybody knows that the divine, by any name, is within us. But it is obscured by our identification with the little me, the small self. That small self blocks our ability to open up into our true nature. And our true nature is wisdom and compassion by any name. If the ego is sick, if the ego is not happy, if the ego feels sad or depressed or that unloved, then we're always thinking me, 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 me.
Yeah.
Poor me. And the problem is everybody else because they don't understand me. If our ego is healthy, we're not thinking about ourselves very much. We're much more interested in others. And we can walk a spiritual path. The genuine spiritual path is all about how to dissolve the ego in order to open up into our true potential, which is literally beyond thought. What we have to understand is that the me has never existed since the very beginning. It's just a fabrication of the brain. And we have a deeper level of our consciousness, which supports that. So it's like the me, the self, is like the clouds. And our genuine fundamental primordial consciousness is like the sky. Mm-hmm. And the clouds exist in the sky, but they also can obscure the sky. So we don't see the sky. We only see the clouds. And what we need to recognize is that even with the clouds, there is the clouds exists because of the sky.
Yes.
And so what we're looking for is the sky, which is our pure awareness behind the coming and going of the thoughts. Sometimes when people are really very psychologically disturbed, then definitely psychotherapy can help.
Yeah.
But to get caught up in it too much, if we're not careful, it just becomes like, you know, just going round and round and round. We have to break through that right. to recognize our fundamental consciousness. And that's what meditation can do for us. Psychology cannot do that. Because psychology is only about making the ego feel a happy little ego at the best, but it cannot transcend the ego. And that's what all genuine spiritual paths are trying to do, is go beyond me, 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 to something so much vaster, which is inconceivable to our conceptual thinking.
I wondered if you could say anything to help people who are suffering from insecurity and fear at the moment.
Well, I think there's two kinds of fear. One is something which is, you know, I mean, in its own extent, fairly understandable. I mean, people are fearful of losing their jobs. People are fearful of the future for their children and so forth. And this is in this climate that the world is in at the moment is understandable. It's not helpful, but it's understandable. But there's also a kind of existential fear which is cultivated, especially by the media. I mean, the media is very busy trying to make everyone very paranoid, because if we are paranoid, we are also able to be manipulated. And so we have to be careful about that. This is, honestly, this is samsara. Samsara means that it's this endless round of birth and death, which by its very nature is insecure. And by its very nature is unsatisfactory. So don't be surprised. We are never going to make samsara into a heavenly realm, because by its very nature, it isn't, right? Because we are still living in it as very flawed human beings. And therefore we are always endlessly messing things up anyway. But we can, outside, we cannot deal with it too much. We can do what we can for the environment. We can do what we can for any particular projects which we have a heart connection with, and that's very good. But in the end, the only way to deal with our fear and anxiety is from inside. And so therefore, this is where various kinds of meditation can be very helpful. We have to recognize that all our thoughts and anxiety is just a thought. Back to thoughts, we don't have to believe what we think, right? So we can see that thoughts are just thoughts. And we can also, as I say, cultivate love and cultivate compassion, first of all, to ourselves, to our loved ones, and to the whole planet. I think that it's very important to send out positive thoughts at a time when mostly everybody is encouraged to cultivate negative thoughts.
Yes.
They're negative thoughts of anxiety and fear and, you know, anger and general. These kind of thoughts are totally unhelpful. Mm. They do not help ourselves. They do not help others. They do not help the basic feeling on this planet. I mean, sometimes I say we are very involved about pollution, but honestly, the big pollutant is a psychic pollutant. You know, if we could see that surrounding our planet, we'd see how dark it is, you know, dark and heavy, because the media are promoting anxiety constantly, COVID, 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 job loss, all the different problems that are going to come up, and it's going to get worse. And everybody is just suspended in this agony of fear, even if at this particular point, actually there's nothing terrible happening for them personally, but still it could happen tomorrow, you know? Then that's not a useful way to live. So to learn how to cultivate inner calm, cultivate inner sense of love and well-being and compassion, and send that out around the planet. I mean, to sit and just radiate love and compassion to all the world is a whole lot better than sitting there glued to the television reading about the latest catastrophe somewhere or other.